to Project Zion Podcast. I'm Karen Peter, and today we have a special guest with us, and that's President of 70, Larry McGuire. In our special post-World Conference episode, Larry is going to share with us a little bit about his World Conference 2025 experience as he spent it at the Côte d'Ivoire, or in American lingo, the Ivory Coast, at the remote site. And he had some really interesting reflections and thoughts to share with us. So we thought we'd share them with you, the Project Zion podcast listeners. So welcome, Larry.
Hi, Karen.
Larry's driving, so if we hear Larry's Garmin pop in, we'll know that's what's happening. But thank you for taking time today to be with us.
Sure.
So to start with, Larry, tell us a little bit about your President of 70 assignment, because it's different than what you've had in the past.
Yeah. I have the gift and privilege of being able to support colleagues who are just now coming onto the council from the Philippines and from Africa to help mentor them in the role of President of 70, but also to support ways that they are going to be giving expression to their ministry within the particular forum. So I get that privilege of walking alongside some of these new forum presidents, but also helping to make sure that we are always aware of the bigger picture of mission as the church continues to grow in many places around the world.
So that's different than your experiences in the past, although you've traveled a lot internationally in how your assignment has been, but mostly in Southeast Asia. This was different. Was it your first Africa trip?
Oh, I actually made one other trip to Africa back in 2016. I was in Zambia for 2 weeks for leadership development training that I did. So that was, you know, a wonderful experience. Going to Côte d'Ivoire was my first visit there. So again, seeing just another part in engaging with many French-speaking members and friends.
Yeah, do you speak French?
Absolutely not.
Microsoft Translate, here we go.
Translator every day.
Absolutely. We have experienced a lot of that in the Council of Presidents of 70. We've been playing with technology and different ways to communicate for some time. We're trying to stay on the cutting edge of that. So, yeah, we're learning as we go. So you were there for World Conference at the official remote site at Côte d'Ivoire. And I'm going to ask, I mean, I know the answer, but our listeners don't. Why? Why did you go to Côte d'Ivoire for World Conference?
We had the joy of selecting two new presidents of 70. One of them, Leslie Pascua from Philippines, was able to get a visa to come to the United States. But Sylvester Ochieng from Africa was denied a visa. And with his setting apart, we wanted to demonstrate our full support for him to join the council. And so I was asked if I would consider going to participate and actually be in the room with my hands on him for his setting apart. And so I was able to do that. And I'm really grateful for that opportunity to have been there with him and with his wife to share in that setting apart with the other members from Côte d'Ivoire.
So how do you think that was received, both by Sylvester and by the group there assembled? Because it wasn't just people from Africa that were there.
We had also several delegates who came from India to participate in that conference experience. It was for Sylvester and myself, it was a very emotional time to stand with him, to actually, you know, have the privilege of placing my hands on his head and participate in the prayer that Sister Catherine gave. Was we could feel a divine presence as we were there in that room. It was also very important for Sylvester to know that even though there was a struggle with him getting the visa, he was fully a member of the council. He was included, and we were able to make the adjustment to make sure that everyone in Africa and from India knew how included they were going to be in those sessions. So it was a wonderful experience, and everybody was there. So all the French-speaking and English-speaking delegates chose to put off their caucus sessions so they could be part of the setting apart of Sylvester that day.
That's marvelous. That's marvelous. When you talk about that, obviously any of the kind of ordination or setting apart services are always meaningful in the life of the individual. But you had told me earlier that this had a bigger impact than simply Sylvester or even just the 70. Can you describe that a little bit?
Sure. It was an opportunity for all the delegates to see and understand a little bit of the role of a president of 70, how the council functions a little bit, but also to see the bigger picture of where the church is globally and how they're all involved in that, and learning just some of the ways in which the council has to operate, that people would never have the understanding or an experience like that. And it was right in full view, and folks appreciated being able to see how things happen in the context of the council presence of 70.
Yeah. Well, and newly ordained president of the church, Sister Cram, spoke at the setting apart, and she was very articulate and very pointed in her comments about the role of Presidents of 70 in mission. So you talked about there were people from Africa and people from Asia and other places who gathered at Cote d'Ivoire for the remote site. But you also mentioned, this is my subheading here, and that is Larry is woke, because Larry, you have become a big advocate for the ministry of women in places where women's ministry has not always been
accepted
or well received. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We had several women who were ordained the office of 70, and they were quite a few that Karen, you and I and others on the council have had the privilege of considering their call and recommending them. And it was a real blessing to see how their ministry is taking shape in terms of their participation, the questions they were asking or sharing about their ministry focus. It was definitely a strengthening moment that these women in particular have recognized they have a gift, they have a calling, and they are very courageous in asking their questions, not intimidated. They're very respectful, but they have a definite passion for witness and invitation in often some very difficult situations. And so they were, you know, they would ask some questions. They were being very observant. I also noticed that Sister Kamala Rao from Andhra Pradesh Mission Center, after a couple of days, she began to engage with more and more women, and the French speakers, they did not mind that they probably didn't really understand a whole lot, but they were together, they had fun, and they shared using their phones to help translate.
Yeah.
It was a moment where the quorum began to take on a different meaning. It wasn't just to do business, important relationships, and affirming of each other's worth. Really important to see that.
So while you were there, what were the concerns you heard from the folks gathered there?
Yeah. There's a lot of passion for some of the pieces of legislation, and they were you know, they wanted to speak, they wanted to have their voice heard. And so they, you know, they were doing what they could to be prepared. There was concern about, do we always have to gather in just one place? Could we have our own remote site, like in Kenya, or our own remote site in Zambia, and not have to travel all the way to wherever, which I think is a very valid question. It will stress probably some of the infrastructure things, but
Yeah.
they were wanting to do that. And there was, there were some concerns about how can they take a more active role in decision making in their particular area, which I found to be fascinating. But as they began to engage in the conversation about legislation, or as they saw how things worked, I think it began to spark within some people, what does this mean for us in the context of Kenya or Nigeria or wherever, which I think is
Right.
very healthy. It will strengthen the church and its own ability within each one of these nations now to be able to say, this is how our voice can be included. And I think that's
Right.
crucial.
Wonderful. So, along with concerns, there's the flip side of that, which are joyful moments or celebratory moments. So, what are two or three joys that you experienced, you, Larry Maguire?
The joy of singing and dancing, times when I wanted to make sure we were all ready to go for the legislative session or whatever it might be. They were not going to be thwarted in terms of singing the song that they really wanted to sing.
Ah.
It was inclusive in that not one nation dominated. Everybody participated. And so many of the songs they were singing, they all knew together, which was powerful.
Yeah.
Also, it was really powerful to see how local leaders from India and from Kenya began to take charge and lead the discussions around legislation each day. They didn't need anybody's permission. They just had conversation and asked questions, and it was another strong affirmation this was the right thing to do in Africa and South Central Asia. That it really, I believe, it strengthens the church's presence and leadership in these places. So I was celebrating that, and just being able to connect with some people that I'd known, when I'd met before. One song I wanted to do when our brother Benga had done one thing before with us, and I asked about it, and they did it the last day in the last service for me. It's trumpet songs and dancing, and it was a beautiful moment where I just got to stand there. I recorded it on my phone and just celebrated the joy of all
Yeah.
the things that had taken place. It was beautiful.
Marvelous. Hopefully that will appear in our President's Assembly WhatsApp
Someday we may have to do
at some point. So let me ask you this. Would you do it again?
I think I would. I'll admit, and I've shared this with you, Karen, that it was a little bit of an emotional challenge for me, not being able to be in the chamber when some of these historical things took place, several friends in transition of ministry. And that's what I came to understand. That's all about me. But as I was there, I felt the power and presence of God in that setting apart when we were praying for someone who was sick, when we were singing, and I recognize that the gift is the community gathers in the same presence, whether we're in the chamber or in Cote d'Ivoire. And I think that that was a very healthy realization for me. And as long as we continue to struggle with our key leaders not being able to come to the United States to participate, I believe it's going to be more important that we go and be present with them.
Absolutely.
It's all about strengthening the community, and there are some amazing leaders, and it is wonderful to be able to see them, support them, and learn from them about things that they do in their own ministry.
So I have just one last question that I wanted to pose, and that is, this is more a personal question, Larry, and that is, what lasting effect from this trip do you think will stay with you as far as your own personal discipleship? What has it shaped and formed in you?
After we were done with the setting apart for Sylvester, he and I stood there for several minutes in an embrace. And it was that unspoken moment of a bond that will forever be on my heart. to hold him as we both shed some tears, to hold him as the community gathered around us singing and dancing, and to be able to have his wife with
Stay
him
on the
there
second, our third lane to right.
And to share in that setting a part in that way, I will not forget that. And the feeling of the divine presence as I had my hands on his head and Sister Catherine prayed, there was no doubt we were together in the same presence.
And what a wonderful culmination from the experience that we had. Gosh, was it only last October where we went into our retreat after meeting with World Church Leadership Council, and we went to actually go through the process of discerning calls. And what a wonderful circle
Absolutely.
That has closed with that. That's marvelous. Well, Larry, I want to thank you for chatting with us about this today. Is there any last thing you want to share with our listeners about your experience in Cote d'Ivoire?
I am really grateful for that experience. And I think it was an experiment. It'll guide us with a purpose for the future, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you were truly a pioneer with this, Larry, which is not the end of your pioneership, because you have a number of things, a number of places where your ministry will go in the coming months and years. But this was truly a wonderful experience from our end in sharing with you from Independence in our quorum meetings and being able to be with you with the Canadian remote site and via phone with the Hondurans at their remote site. But for the setting apart in particular, we're really grateful that you were willing to do, as we say in the mission prayer, and risk something new. As interesting as it can be in other places and other contexts. But thanks again, Larry,
thanks
for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Project Zion podcast listeners. And we hope to see you next time for additional post-World Conference 2025 episodes as we move into the rest of the year in our camping season. So again, I'm Karen Peter, Project Zion Podcast. We've been chatting with President of 70, Larry McGuire. Thanks so much for listening.